the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi savaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
Well, I'd like some assistance looking at the assignment today, to live each day as if it's your last. So this has been an ongoing assignment, it feels like.
It is kind of the assignment that practice offers to us on an ongoing basis,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, this is really deep desire to live in that place. So, what I've seen so far this morning is that tendency to go to sleep. You know, there's. I noticed, you know, I'll pass a monk and I'll, you know, I might make a show and sometimes a little half-hearted manner. And I realize, if that was my last time, I would probably fall down in a full prostration. And just to see, you know, and just to see that.
Just to see, to have that possibility, that reminder in the assignment today, which is part of the year-long retreat, to see today, what if today truly were your last day? And I love that piece of the assignment where it says, what if today were your last day? And then in parentheses, no, don't do that thing of, I know, today's my last day. But really stop and take that in and really look. And it sounds like in what you're saying, to have mirrored in that, gosh, you know, I might pass a fellow monk and maybe make a show, maybe not, sort of in this half-hearted way, but to realize if this were truly the last time, I would probably, you know, be on the ground in a full prostration. And how much that reveals the assumption we walk around with.
Honestly,
on a moment-by-moment basis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't know, just looking at, I mean, what keeps, well, I know what keeps, what keeps me from just being fully engaged with each thing. I mean, what I know to be true is what is just the deep desire of the heart is to just love everything.
Yes.
Just love everything without all of, without reservation.
Yes.
Without all that voice saying, well, you can't do, I mean, that looks stupid to fall down on the ground. You know?
I mean, you can't, what, you're going to do that every, you'll never get anything done. Every single thing and every tree you pass and every.
How dramatic can you be, you know?
Come on.
You know? and to love the pop. Anyway, there's just I'm not sure where to go with it, but
Well, part of what I hear you saying is that it's extraordinary to realize that we fall for being in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, you know, you said the deepest desire of the heart is just to love everything. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of something I was looking at this morning, that truly it's what we always hear. When everything else drops away, love is. That is what we are.
Yeah.
That is the experience we have.
Yeah.
And yet, somehow we get talked into being in that conversation of, well, but I mean, come on, how will I look, and what, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize it's not that we have to try to love or try to be, it's that as soon as we get out of that conversation, drop that conversation, we're right back in that experience of that reverence, that we do live in a place as if there's for the last moment, because we're not, that's just being in the present.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're being.
Yeah, really. Two things about that. First of all, I saw, I was just noticing, you know, kind of there's this tendency sometimes to thank people for being kind.
Mm.
And what I was just seeing the other day was to thank people for letting conditioned mind drop long enough to be the authentic kindness, that they are.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was just a shift happened, and it was like, oh, that person is not trying to be anything.
Yes.
They're becoming more more real.
Yes.
More what they really are.
Yes.
And the other thing, as you were talking, the image of the Zen fool kept arising, which is, which are completely... love.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Exactly.
You know, that's it right there.
Yeah.
Just to be in that place of, of foolishness.
Yeah.
A fool in love.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the complete fool in love.
Yeah.
And
it's so fun that, so there's that image of the Zen fool, and we're drawn to it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And to just let that be the experience, right?
Yeah.
Without that conversation again of, well, yeah, that's a nice image, but not me. I mean, I'm not going to look foolish, and I'm, right, all those things.
Yeah.
But to just let that be the experience.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I love, if I'm tracking what you're saying, you were saying right before that, in other words, when someone is, you project, showing kindness towards you, what you realize is a gratitude for that person's willingness to drop out of the conversation, to drop the conditioning long enough to just be what life is, which is, in this case, kindness.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness, yeah. Yeah, it's just nothing that has to be learned.
Yeah.
Or, you know, acquired or, you know, and And just one last thing. It seems to me, it is that going back this day, that what is that jumping off the cliff? Like, you know, I don't know what. I mean, I don't know what it looks like to love foolishly.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah,
you know, and so can I just fall into it and then?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because I don't have to know.
I don't have to know.
Right? Because as you were just saying a little while ago, life knows.
Uh-huh.
That is what life is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it seems that our task, our job, if you will, is to let all the rest of it go.
Yeah.
All those habits, all those things we've been trained to be so involved with, to let all of that go.
Wow, So I see as the assignment today, I didn't, you know, I didn't catch in the beginning, there was like, of course, it went to a figuring it out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right, so, you know.
Well, let's see, if this were my last day.
You know, and so when I do this, I'm going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm going to really bring attention to this. And I'm really going to.
Yeah.
And so to just let that go.
Yeah.
And that I don't know.
Yeah.
And just like, well, I have no idea where this is going to take me.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Yes.
And, but I just to stay in that question, or, you know, mm-hmm. just in that willingness to be foolishly, I don't even know what came through earlier, but to love foolishly.
Yeah. And isn't that so the place of just, so a possibility arises, an assignment comes in, an insight comes in, and it's almost like offering that intention to life.
Yeah.
Right? Just letting life know, wow, that, I see that. And that's the intention. Mm-hmm. And then letting it go, instead of being an I who's then going to, as you say, figure that out and make a plan to do that and, you know, whatever, all of that, mm-hmm. to just offer that intention up. And it's amazing, isn't it, how then so often at the end of a day or the end of a year or the end of, to realize, whoa, that happened, right? That intention that was set out there.
Yeah.
So much happened, and it can be such a fun practice to then record at the end of a day or whatever it is, mm-hmm. to record about all the places where that showed up.
Yeah.
I didn't make it happen. Yeah. I didn't, but it showed up.
Yeah, that was really fun. And just feel like, you know, kind of the giddiness bubble up in that, and that openness to just, you know, step into that.
Step into that, I don't know. And the more experiences we have of that, it feels like it builds that faith that I don't have to do it. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to be this way or not do that or try not to make mistakes or that life is doing all of it perfectly.
With a sense of humor.
Rob and Rebecca.
Well, first of all, I have to say this place has ruined me.
Ruined you?
Yeah. So I could, you know, so I left yesterday. I go out there and so honestly, you know, I was ready, 3 months I was ready to leave, you know. I mean, it's not like I hated it, but I was like, I really, it's mostly like the food. I was like, I want to have the heat the way I want it, and I want to be able to eat whatever I want. And, oh, I'm so shocked. I didn't expect it. I hate, like, everything I ate. It was like too sweet or too salty or too overcooked. I was like, it's awful. What happened? And, you know, everything's changed. And
that's very exciting, huh?
Well, it's exciting, but except that, like, I'm driving back. I'm like, what am I gonna eat from here?
I think everyone in this room can relate to your experience. I gotta travel. Starve.
Yeah. I had not planned when I left here. Like, I didn't know what day I was leaving, and I was like, well, I'll just plan on my way. I'll get out an app, I'll just plan, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours, and I'll come back home, you know. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's still completely different than I anticipated. First time in my life, my car is on the skids. My car is pretty much crippled. I can't drive over, like, 35 miles an hour. So, and then I go into Angel's Camp, I'm like, oh, I'll just get a hotel. That's no problem. All the hotels are booked. I'm like, what?
I think we're in the life has a sense of humor part. That's what I was talking about.
Right? But then the life thing is, Jim, you know this, yesterday, because I knew my car was troubled before I left, you just picked up the phone and you called. And I normally don't do that. I normally just go on the internet and do a search. And I'm like, just call the hotels. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go on. It's not online. Everything's booked online. Just call. So I called, and they had a room. Oh, simple. So simple, you know, and only if I, you know.
There's that little space for life to drop in the information. Yeah.
And I found that I had to keep doing that. It's like, no, don't go to conditioned thought. Yes, this is okay. Yes. It's fine. Yes. You know, you'll be okay.
Yes.
And then the last real thing that shocked me is that in the beginning of October, I told my friend, oh, I'm driving out there alone. I wish I could drive with someone. He goes, well, I can't go out there with you, but maybe I can come back. I was like, oh, that's great. He goes, well, when are you leaving? I was like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what day I'm leaving. I don't know any of that stuff. Well, why didn't you call me? Well, I can't call you. So we had like this vague thing, like, if I can let you know, I'll let you know. And like, so basically, I let a friend, when I had my call, I said, there's this person, his name is Jim Ford, call him and tell him I get out on this date. That's it. I'm like, he'll never be there, right? That's not going to happen. So I call him up. Of course, he's in Sacramento waiting for me. And I'm like, before I was like, I could just meander. Now I'm like, I have to get there back in time because he has to go back to work. And that's not so big. The real kicker is, like I said, this place is roomy. Like, I don't want to be in a car. I don't want to be talking in a car. I don't want the radio on.
Yeah.
I don't want all of that. And now I'm like, so unfortunately, there's all the tools this place gives me. I'm like,
yes. Yes.
What am I going to do? And I was like, last night I was upset. And then this morning I'm like, I'm just going to tell him the truth and we'll just work it out.
Wow.
That's all I have to, it's like, it's so simple, right? Like, we're friends.
Wow.
He's easy going, we'll work it out, It'll be fine.
You know, it's extraordinary what you're saying, Rob. Because, we joke about life has that sense of humor. So the car's not working and, you think it's going to be so exciting, all these things you get to eat. It turns out it's not.
Yeah.
You don't actually enjoy any of them. Too salty, too sweet, too this, too that. To realize that what conditioning would say is this place has ruined me. And yet from what you're describing is what's happened is we're given the tools to have everything that we encounter to be our best opportunity to wake up. That's an extraordinary thing.
Yeah, it is extraordinary. I mean, I was on King said it ruined me.
Right.
I just was
right.
Shocked.
Yes.
I was just so shocked.
The level of transformation that has happened. Yes.
And I had to practice unconditional love. I come across people and I start to be in horror, I choose unconditional love, I didn't come here keep myself separate from everyone.
Yes, good for you.
And just all of that.
Yeah.
And it's not even 24 hours yet.
Yeah. and I hope a big piece of you're describing it perfectly, is that place of no standards. No standards. Right? So everything is a workshop. God knows coming to the monastery is a workshop, right? We joke about it being a foreign country. You come here, everything's different. All kinds of conditioning is mirrored. I mean, it's just, you see so much, and then you leave the monastery. That's a whole other workshop. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, where you might have had hours and hours and hours on your own to record and listen and do all the things, maybe you're not going to have that. You're going to have someone else in your car. But what you realize is, instead of suffering with that, we can practice with it. We can practice with all of it. And to realize there can be no standards, that it's all a workshop. It's all just a matter of seeing what we see, recording like crazy, right? Because you now have this brand new mirror to see all these things in that, over time, that will become, quote, normal, and you won't see it in that same sort of clear way. So to record, to listen to the recordings you may hear, to give that sincere practitioner, that human, tons of support as he's making this transition.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I recorded a little bit because I'm not feeling so great. Mm-hmm. I call up people, on the East Coast it was already too late.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there's nobody to talk to. I'm just here by myself. So I was like, I'm not by myself. I'm on my recorder. So I talked to the recorder. I listened to it.
Not at all by myself.
I always been, finally getting it. Finally realizing, look, you got your friend. It's right here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it is. It's even more extraordinary than I realized, now that we're talking about it. There's all this stuff that's happening. So here's the issue. I just want to keep it. I have this fear that it's going to go away, but as long as I focus on the fear, it's more likely to go away.
And there's nothing to keep. Right? That's the amazing thing, because what you're describing, Rob, is that what we're given in practice is the process, the skill of being with everything. And if we simply practice that in every moment, there's nothing in particular to keep. At least in my experience, the way that conditioning attempts to take any process away from us, like the process of presence or joy or gratitude or acceptance or transformation, is to make that into a content. Ah, this is so great. Let me keep this.
Yeah.
And okay, we just notice that that's what it's doing.
Yeah.
And we come back to the process that we're in such gratitude for. And will we get, bamboozled and pulled off into very likely.
Yeah.
But we always come back.
Oh, that's another thing. I mean, I did get identified. I was like down in the dumps.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think I already mentioned it a few weeks back. The recovery's happening faster.
Uh-huh, yes.
You know, I go down and I'm just like, you know, you can just sit here and make yourself suffer, or you can do something about this.
Mm.
And that is really great.
Yes.
Even to know that it doesn't have to last as long,
yep,
nearly as long as it used to, makes, yep, it all so much easier.
Yes. And that there's nothing wrong with it happening.
Yeah, right.
Yep. It's just part of the thing. You get to see it. Pretty, you know, always we get to see something out the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been great. You know, quite great. The workshop continues.
Yeah. Yeah. How beautiful to get to come back the next morning.
Oh, I'm so happy. Yeah. I really am so happy. Because yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm stuck in my hotel until Monday morning.
Yeah. See, bless that car, huh?
That's right. Yeah. And even that is a new experience. Uh-huh. I've never been broken down. Always, wow. Like for an hour, like if you break down, I can, yeah, like fix it in an hour, oh, or something. I've never been like, yeah, can't move this thing.
Life is exquisite.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Rebecca.
Wow. That. So my version of these conversations, it seems like we're on a theme here of how would you want to live your last day. I was looking at that assignment as well. And what you just talked about how conditioning wants to turn a process into content,
mm-hmm,
I saw that, you know, mm-hmm, trying to happen with this assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, I would be sure and do this, and I would want to do that. And, mm-hmm, you know, all
a little
of this
maybe, uh-huh, 15 minutes of that.
Yeah. And I saw that whole thing play out just in the way that so far this morning has gone. Because when I was lying in bed before I woke up, I had one idea of what was going to happen this morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think it's we could walk to the creek. I have time for that, you know. And as I just then, you know, had this little plan,
uh-huh,
then got up and it just did, it just went a different
it
way.
It just didn't go that
it
way.
It just didn't go that way.
Yeah.
And I got to watch how if this were my very last day, that's exactly how I would want to live.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes,
which is, okay, life drops in this, yes, we do this. Life,
yes,
drops in this, we do this. We let,
yes,
go,
yes,
of the, you, yeah, know, whatever seemed to be there first, you,
yes,
know, the conditioned idea,
yeah,
of what's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, just shelve that,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And let's just live in the moment. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that experience is so exquisite.
Mm.
You know, Sherry's often referred to it as sort of the feeling like there's this hand on the small of your back,
mm,
just kind of guiding you, mm-hmm, all through. And that's what it feels like, of just being so well. And that was just pointed out. Well, you're not alone. You're with your best friend. Here's,
right,
your best friend.
Right.
You're never, you know, always.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so clear the way you describe it that, so that possibility of living this day as if it were your last, that process of that becoming a content.
Yeah.
And kind of that plan that's going to get created.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know, but we can guess something like, truly, this is your last day. When we're called to that level of right here, we don't tend to turn to a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just not what comes up to...
Well, and you know, the best part of that is the reason we don't want to turn to a plan is because the plan pales in,
exactly,
comparison,
exactly,
to what life will drop in,
yes,
in any single moment.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I got goosebumps as you said that because I pictured, you know, things, a crisis, right? There's an earthquake or there's a, you know, something that calls us up, literally up out of our houses.
Uh-huh.
And that sense of everyone is right there. And it's so obvious that we're in this together and it's not about me. And it's not, you know, all those things that we're lulled into being those little separate selves.
Yeah.
And that suddenly we're not.
Yeah.
Right? And it's that same thing.
Yes.
Called up out of ourselves to truly be here.
Yes. You know, and you, that is a good, great example of like an earthquake. And I'm watching it happen right now.
Mm.
Because here's the process is you're talking and I can either go to well, what do I want to say next? You know, in that very subtle way, because I'm listening.
Little tiny plan.
Little tiny plan. Or I can be in the process of what?
Uh-huh.
What now?
Uh-huh.
You know, what? Mm-hmm. And that is that is the process that's happening in something as, you know, kind of as something as simple as talking in group, or how when an earthquake is there, when there's a crisis, or what to do. I mean, it's every single moment that is available to us.
Yes, and it takes me back to the conversation with Sequoia, because when there literally is something like an earthquake, this is my experience anyway, we don't think about it. Right? It's not a, okay, well, I could be in this problem, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just be here with... Well, I think what's so amazing about it is it's just boom.
Yeah.
We're just right there. And that's why it's so, you know, magical almost, because we don't have to try to...
Yeah.
So it feels like the possibility, the thing that we get to practice is not being in that conversation, and then that other, the process that I project you're describing is what is.
Yes.
Right? So we're talking in group, and what's there to say next is just said.
Yes. Mm. Yes, and as you're saying that, I'm seeing that the training that has been needed to train for that possibility is... is imbued in every fiber of the monastic life.
Mm-hmm.
In any, in not even living here full time, but even encountering the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me see if I can articulate it, because it feels really big, that in order to be, quote, ruined, this place has been ruined, in order for that, the structures, let's see, so if I were just free to say, okay, I'm gonna walk to the creek, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that, and I didn't have any structural thing to sort of come up against, then that could go unnoticed for decades, lifetimes, whatever.
Yes.
But because we who come here choose to put ourselves in a training program, where that can be revealed and be planed away.
Yes.
That process is that other process is available.
Yeah.
And I just can't, I mean, I don't know from my own experience any other process, any other training that would enable that to happen. Maybe there are, because you know, I'm sure there are tons of possibilities, right? But for me, this is what's been, I guess, needed or at least offered by life.
Yeah.
And just so grateful. Just so grateful for all of the, how do we say, great good fortune, the, you know, all of the, everything that's come together to make this possible.
Yeah.
Because I just can't, you know, sometimes so it boggles the mind, how would I have ever seen this in another way?
Yeah. Yeah, so beautifully stated, right? Because it's like the structures of monastic training or the structures of practice are the only thing that allow us to dismantle the illusory structures of ego that seem so real and seem like our whole life is trapped in those structures, right? So, back to that ruining image, right? You know, I think it's in the Dhammapada where the Buddha talks about, you know, I've destroyed the ridges and the rafter, you know, the ridge poles and the rafters. So that house, that the ego cannot pull itself back together.
Yeah.
Because literally the structures are being dismantled, being ruined.
Yes.
Right? And it's nearly impossible, I project what you're saying, for us to choose that for ourselves moment by moment, because so often we're identified as that.
Yes.
So I'm not going to take a, you know, sledgehammer to my own structures, right?
Yeah.
To my own house.
Yeah.
But that intuitive sense that that's what I truly want.
Yeah.
So the wisdom to put ourselves in a position where those structures are constantly being dismantled, or at least being mirrored, so we have the opportunity to choose not to reinforce them.
Yes, And I was just listening to a quote that that came through my recorder from St. Francis de Sales about, let me see if I can paraphrase it, that I desire very little, and even when I do desire, I don't want it very much, you know? But if I were born again, I would desire nothing except what God desires.
Yes. Yes.
And that seems to speak to that place.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Because, you know, I woke up desiring, I would walk to the creek this morning.
Yeah.
But no, I don't really. You know, if I can let that go, let go of desire, and really only want what the moment is desiring.
Yeah. You know? And how amazing to get to watch oneself, because in what you describe, so that, quote, desire to walk to the creek came up, but the training to, as soon as that wasn't the thing, let it go.
Yeah.
Right? No big, brown, gosh, but why don't I ever get
to... When am I going to get to the creek?
But realizing there's nothing that's more joyful than the experience of surrendering to what the moment is offering.
Talk about reason for frustrations, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Penny, your camera.
This song is great, you know, because I just was seeing a whole bunch of things I wouldn't have seen if I hadn't been sitting here this morning.
Uh-huh.
And when I was seeing this, I'm going to give us the practice.
Mm.
So I was at a workshop yesterday, and it was run by some women. It was a beautiful Native American kind of thing.
Mm.
And I came to it from an online workshop, which was very rousing and arousing. Mm. So I walked in with this kind of energy.
Kind of ready to go. You got your hands in the air and ready to go.
And then we walked into this quiet setting. And it was just so interesting, because what I realized occurred in the course of the day, aside from what we were doing, was observing what was going on.
Mm.
And just saying, oh, that's that.
Mm.
You know, so it wasn't when a woman was running it, and I had opinions arose about what she should be doing differently.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, oh, that's opinions arising about what she should be doing. Yeah.
And there's a cloud, and there's a this, and there's an opinion arising about how she should be doing it differently. And
exactly. Yeah. And you know, I'm just realizing as I'm listening today that you know, that it were not all that long ago I would have gotten trapped in that, and
yes.
I would have worked it all out how she should be doing it.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just observing that, I was having an opinion about her doing it, and it turned out it was a lovely thing, and we were responding to some various things that were laid out. And so I immediately had ideas about a lot. I like that one and that one. And then the way it was set up, the ones that I responded to were entirely different. In fact, had you asked me which ones, I would have said not those.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones. And that was just fun.
Yeah.
You know? And then we had another sort of art activity in the afternoon. That was partly informed by what had happened in the morning.
Mm.
And again, it was just so much fun to watch it unfold.
Mm.
And it felt very meaningful.
Mm.
It was clear that something is emerging, and it's also clear I have no idea what it is, which is probably always true, right?
I suspect. It does seem that way.
There might be a certain amount of specificity about this.
Yeah.
And then this morning, it was fun, it was a soul collage, these little collages you make, so I put them up high in the bedroom so that the cats can't get them. So anyway, I was thinking about them this morning. I mean, they were very meaningful yesterday. And I looked at them this morning and I kind of thought, sort of didn't resonate. And I thought, well, they might another day.
Yes.
And it was all about the process.
Yes.
It was just about the process of making them.
Yes.
That's what happened.
That's so good.
And it was so great to not feel like, oh, I'm missing something because I'm not resonating this morning. You know?
I love that.
This morning is this morning.
Yeah.
And who knows what will happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm just appreciating that I'm seeing all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of saw it yesterday, but I wasn't so aware that I saw it as I have been since I've been listening to us talk. And both of those are gifts of practice.
Yeah.
To be able to be fully in something and then release it.
Yes.
It took me a long time to get out of the workshop I'd come in from.
Uh-huh.
And that was just also, oh yeah, it's hard to come back. Yeah, it's hard to come back. Yeah, come back. That's hard to come back. Oh, there I am again. Okay, come back.
Wow.
There's no big deal.
Wow.
And so it's wonderful to be fully invested and absolutely holding it with open hands.
Yes.
It's just an amazing experience.
It really is. Gosh, there's so much in what you said, because it sounds like what you're describing is that in that ability to just see all of it, everything that's going on, to be in awareness, basically, not take any of it personally, then you are actually available for the gifts that were there.
Right.
Whereas if I identify with those opinions, and then, as you say, kind of working out and how she should be doing and how she shouldn't, and completely miss it.
Right.
Right? And then so you get to have all these gifts of the day, and one of them being making these collages that feel very meaningful and very
and fun.
And then put them up on your bedroom wall, and then it sounds like, kind of without realizing it, there's this tiny little, you know, you didn't articulate this exactly, but for me it would be something like, oh, isn't this going to be great? And I'm going to look at those and then have a certain experience. So next morning, wake up, look at those, don't have that experience, but the awareness is still there.
Yeah.
So then, instead of, oh gosh, you know, deflation of the energy because the process has been turned into a content, right? Now I'm going to feel a certain way about this, and I don't, and instead, the awareness is still there, so the energy is even more, and you see that thing of, well, it wasn't about that.
Yeah.
It was a process.
Yeah.
It was about, and today's today, and yesterday was yesterday, and maybe another day I'll look at it and feel a...
Yeah, and what I'm just seeing is that in terms of the actually, well, the quote yesterday, which is, you know, the one about, you know, jump off cliffs and you have to build wings on the way down,
yeah.
And then the one today about if this were your last day, is that the experience of yesterday was about being kind and curious, not only about what was happening but about this person.
Mm. Yes.
And being in that relationship makes it very easy.
Mm. To be in that kindness and curiosity.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong. It's
yes.
Just, isn't it interesting what's going on?
Yes.
And that's all that's happening. Oh, and so I don't have to get stuck.
Wow.
Trying to change it.
Wow. That's the gift of nothing wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Truly, there is nothing wrong. Never could be. Never has been. Okay. Good. So then it leaves us completely wide open to be curious and open
mm-hmm.
about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, what could happen is the opinion enters, I take it personally, well, look at you, you're having an opinion about that, I mean, why are you,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it all spirals into the, but instead, when there's that nothing wrong, there can be just that kindness and curiosity about all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just saw that because of this discussion, so thank you.
Thank you. Cameron.
This has been really a great conversation.
Mm.
And, you know, every single one that speaks, there's something that is touched inside of here that, mm-hmm. that this human relates to in whatever way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a beautiful process of being enlightened by each other.
Yes.
And so I'm, when you said something about the structure and the ridge poles and taking those down and stuff. I'm reading a book now with a group of people that's about a fellow who, well, I guess basically he was kind of just considered himself a real average person in the beginning and didn't succeed in school and got into doing mischief instead and went off and became a beach bum. And at one point got very disillusioned with that lifestyle and decided he was going to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
He went off to college, got straight A's, and then he just succeeded wildly and became a millionaire.
Mm.
And then he lost all of that.
Mm.
And so what was really interesting was, you know, he didn't fall apart when he lost it. He thought, wow. That is amazing. I was a beach bum.
And I was a millionaire.
And so
and now I'm not.
And now I'm not. And so he's like, all that is within me. What was the special ingredient that allowed me to be successful?
Yes.
And so he came to the conclusion in looking at his experience that when he hit, he called it a day of disgust, when he really got it that he was just not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He made the decision he was going to go somewhere, and he was, because he was motivated,
mm-hmm.
he was willing to do what he was not willing to do before.
Yes.
So he did all these things, mm-hmm. and he did them consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And they led to these changes that increased his
mm-hmm.
bounty of goods and willingness and wealth and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized that when he got to a certain point where he felt he has was successful, then mm-hmm. he stopped doing those things mm-hmm. that had gotten him there.
This is sounding very familiar to the process of practice, isn't it?
The process of practice, it is, because that's what case takes us to practice. We're suffering.
Yes, it's terrible.
And we're terribly mm-hmm. motivated because we don't want to be there, and so we just get in there and we take all these retreats and we're just meditating five times a day and all this kind of stuff. And then
we're running from that terrible place.
Yeah, and then when we get to the place where we're doing better, I don't need to do all that now. And so mm-hmm. then back we slide towards the suffering place. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I was looking at for myself that contributes to the to that place where you get and then you slide back. Mm-hmm. is that exactly what the first sharing was about, that if you're doing something because you should or you need to or it's for the result mm-hmm. rather than being present mm-hmm. and just enjoying, you know, every tree, every flower, every piece of work you have to do along the way, being present for it, then you get to the end and you feel like you've been working so hard.
Yes.
Because you haven't been enjoying it. You haven't been there for it to enjoy it, to be in love with it, was the expression.
Yes.
And so then you feel you're entitled to a relaxation. Yes. You know, I think I'll just have a movie instead of do something. I don't want to go to group tonight. I want to go to the movies instead or something.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it. Mm-hmm. That not being present for it, doing what looks like you should be, you're doing what looks like it would make you successful, but you're not really doing it. Well, you're not present.
Exactly. In what you're describing, if I'm following, it's like we don't get to receive it.
Because, exactly.
Right? Because if we go to the process is the outcome.
Yes, exactly.
If we're talked into all the focuses on the outcome,
yes.
then the thing that's so pernicious is for a period of time, it feels like I can keep this going through motivation or self-discipline or will or whatever it is, right? But as you described, then when I arrive where I'm trying to get, I actually don't receive it because the process is the outcome. And I haven't been actually present to the process. So then when I get to the, quote, outcome, there's that sense of, well, what do I get? What's my reward? Mm-hmm. And ego is right there to offer the answer, unconsciousness. You can have unconsciousness.
Right.
Right? And then it seems good. Because, right, the movie, the ice cream, the whatever it is, oh, thank God, I get something good. And, you know, in a way, it's like, well, no wonder. Because if that whole thing has been a process of self-discipline or will or whatever, you're right, we haven't received anything, so it stinks.
And
why would I want to keep doing
that? The thing
of
it is, it's not only you don't get anything at the end, you haven't gotten anything the whole time you're doing it.
Which is the only thing to get anyway.
Because I think of all the lists that I had of things to do, and the check off the list, I did it.
Yeah.
And that's all I got, was that moment that I put the check, rather than getting the thing while I was doing
it. Yes!
Ah, Lord.
It explains a lot.
It explains a lot. Yeah.
You know, and it's so beautiful. I can't remember where we were having this discussion, but somewhere around here recently, that place that we all get talked into, that you're describing, of like, everything is preparation. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, pretty soon I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get this, you know, whatever. I'm going to stack the wood so that I can have the nice fire. But to have the grace or the whatever it is to fall into that loving stacking the wood.
Isn't it?
We just stacked a lot of wood.
It's very lovely.
Isn't it lovely? And it was a long time coming. We could tell a whole thing about that. But it was... to have the experience of loving the process.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's the whole gift. Right?
Yeah.
And then there is no outcome. Whether it's the walk to the creek. Right? if you love the process of all of it, then whether you actually walk to the creek or not is completely immaterial. Whether you actually split the wood or not, we had a number of days where we were going to split the wood, and we didn't quite a number of days. And so just had that opportunity to let it go over and over and over again, and then one day, there we are, stacking
and
the wood.
And then what we have the opportunity to do is then to move into what we did do instead of chopping
That's
the
right.
wood.
That's exactly right.
That. And I mean, I'm telling you, it's been decades, and I'm just finally getting this. It's like, wow, you know, what a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy what you're doing in your life instead of having it be a something on the way of something, which never, wherever.
What's even fun about that, Cameron, is that place of, you know, it's been decades, and at least for me, when I drop into those places, what I see is, it's been decades of the process of arriving at this beautiful place.
Yes,
nothing
I see
wasted.
That too.
Nothing, right?
Very grateful for
and
every bit of it.
What that opens up is that the next time there's that subtle conversation of like, geez, why are you not enjoying the thing that you made yesterday? I mean, what we get is that faith building place of, oh, this is part of it. In the same way all those decades that supposedly weren't part of it, that was part of it.
No, I totally get that. I said that in that way, but that, I totally really do get that because I can say, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't see it then because I couldn't see it then.
Yeah.
I see it now because of all of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of that bumping up against that process of trying to do it with conditioning directing me.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Now we're at Thomas Edison, right?
Yeah.
You don't tend to invent the light bulb on the first try. You have to find the 10,000 ways.
10,000 ways it doesn't work. Yeah.
Right? And they're not failures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole thing about just being in love and being present and being a fool, if that's what anybody else wants to call it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Scott.
So what keeps coming up for me is, in listening, is the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And in that last conversation, I think for a while there was like, okay, so if I just learn to direct the attention, then I can have the life I want.
There's the process being turned into the content.
And I think easily the first year and a half of living here, there was so I get this now, or I have this skill, so then when I go back, then I'll be able to. And when you were talking about the stacking the wood that we've been doing the last couple of days, it really struck me, I was aware of yesterday, how much I loved being, first of all, just being completely free to go, there's no conversation that I should be doing something else.
Yes.
That didn't even occur.
Right.
You know, I guess
this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it didn't even occur there, but it just occurred now that wasn't a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that freedom just to be completely present.
Yeah.
And in that way, it feels like I could stack wood for days.
Yes.
You know, all parts of what we are doing with that, you know, and how magical that is to get to a place of not trying to do something for later.
Yes.
But seeing that was all along, and it's an ongoing process of wearing that out,
because
it's such, as we've been spoken of, such a habit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this so that then I'll have.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And then basically just have that not work over and over again. And on top of that, seeing, why would I mess with that when I could have the experience of being present?
Uh-huh.
To be in awareness.
Yeah.
And having that happen enough to have that those two things really clearly, and then there's the willingness to let go.
Exactly.
I think it's that theme that I brought up, we've been talking about, trading the lead for gold.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes it can feel really compelling, like, well, that is an amazing thing that I seem to be able to do now, and it would be really cool to do that for that other thing that I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to see Those are the lead blocks. I want the gold blocks, so I'm happy to give those.
Right, because then there can be that sense of, and maybe someday that will happen.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But that's the fun part right there.
Yeah.
Living in the who knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to trade any content for being in this process that you're describing.
Yeah.
Right?
And exactly.
It sounds like what you're saying is, with something like, okay, we're stacking wood today, there can be that explicit permission to let the rest of it go, right? You know you're not going to rush through this to race off to something else, because this is what we're doing. Yeah. And the possibility that we could do that for ourselves in every moment, right? To not have that split attention.
Yes, exactly.
You know, my hands are and my feet are here doing this, but I'm actually not. In my head, I'm already on to the next thing, which is so unkind. It's so unkind. It's no fun at all.
Yeah.
So that training to be completely where we are, doing whatever we're doing, just surrendering to that place is such an amazing place to live.
It really is, yeah. And to put ourselves, as we've been spoken of earlier, put ourselves in those positions to receive that training.
Yeah.
Because it's just clear in the training piece, that is what is.
Yeah.
We're just wearing away all the other stuff that got added.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to actually do anything or create anything or be different.
Yep.
Okay, well, the right thing to do is just be present to what you're doing.
Exactly. From now on, I'm going to always...
just magical.
Which is, there we go, process turned into a content, right? And then I'm up in the head thinking about how what I need to do is be where my hands are. And, you know, on that teeny tiny subtle level, I mean, it's not subtle, but it can feel subtle, I'm not where I am. I'm in a conversation about being where I am.
Yes. Yeah, and we can really feel that energetically.
Yeah.
Being in a conversation about where I am versus being here. I feel like I've just rediscovered what universe you're creating, the recording and listening book. Like,
oh, good.
Whoa, where's this been?
Did they just publish this?
Yeah. I was doing one of the assignments this morning on practice. And one of the things it asked to do was, right now, do one of the things that you practice. Mm. And then record about your experience of that.
Mm.
First of all, I love that. Just have the experience, and then tell us what you're seeing about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring you right to that place, out of the head, into the experience. Well, like, well, what am I? I'm practicing listening right now because I had recorded that.
Uh-huh.
The reading, and then there's the assignment. Uh-huh. So I was listening to the assignment and the reading. And so what I noticed about that is just that movement of practice brings the attention here.
Yeah.
And it, what a miracle that is.
A miracle.
there's on the website, I think, of Vajna.org, there's a section, I think, called What's New. And in What's New, there's an interview between Sherry and someone who has a radio show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those conversations between the guide and someone who doesn't necessarily know anything about practice.
Yes, yes.
And one of the things Sherry was talking about was directing the attention.
Mm.
And she was saying, well, we know about that because our attention is being directed all the time.
That's right.
You know, it's like, we all know that. It's like, don't
look over here. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen there?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to, I don't know.
Yeah.
What is going to happen there? 2 seconds before, that was nowhere in my right. But now I'm having an in-depth conversation about.
Don't forget the milk, and you know what I should do in the future? That would be really great. Oh, that conversation I had with that person, I should have said, you know, and just what, if we can see that, the attention's being, wow, whoa, that's fascinating in itself.
Yes.
And then to watch what practice does is like, oh, all of a sudden there's a conscious directing of the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, I don't know why, this image of, it's the difference sometimes between like being a passenger in a car and driving the car.
Uh-huh.
And I had this image of the first time I like, this is a stretch to say I drove a car, but my grandparents used to live in Arizona, and they live in this retirement community where pretty much everyone's second car is a golf cart.
Oh, yeah.
And you can actually, I mean, it's just totally normal to drive golf carts around the streets.
Yeah.
And so he used to let me drive,
you
know, in his lap, basically. And wow, I mean, the exhilaration and joy. I mean, just the day before, I was sitting in the path, which is still cool. I was with my granddad, and right now it's airs going around and all that. But whoa.
Yeah.
And I wondered about that, you know, and I wondered if it's just, know, if you have your hands on the wheel, the attention's right here.
It's a completely different level of presence, isn't it, than being the passive.
I wondered. And because the thing, another part of the assignment was write down all the reasons you want to practice. And the first thing was fun. And I'm like, well, what is that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's that participation.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, my life's being directed and I'm looking through a filter. Well, that's not really as fun as, whoa, I can direct this thing?
Yeah.
Or I can, wow. Yeah. I don't know, that engagement, that participation in that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it just that function or that way, that thing that can happen, that is such a difference. Between, I can see why people are just like, well, what's so exciting about life? When something else is directing your life experience.
It's not exciting at all.
It's not
quite exciting. The opposite. Yeah.
You know, versus,
but it's where that victim feeling can come from.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's being driven.
Actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in that sense of what was being talked about, in a way, it doesn't really matter what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're participating.
Yeah.
Because it's all quite fascinating.
Yes. You know, and as you talk, it highlights for me how brilliant recording and listening is, right? As a tool. Because there we are reading, you know, something that calls to us, right? That speaks to our heart and we resonate with it, you know, a book that's talking about whatever it's talking about. And so it's so inspiring and we have that experience and it's so interesting that the place that the resistance comes up for people is in what you're... Okay, so now stop and do a recording of...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, I'll do that later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what's being asked of us is, when we're having the experience of just sitting reading the book, we're having the experience, but it's almost like we don't get to own that we're having the experience.
Yeah, that's well said.
And so then when that invitation to shift to what I project is so brilliant in, you know, the work, say, of the books and this practice is... Okay, metaphorically, we're gonna ask you to get up off the couch and have your own experience.
Yes.
And no wonder people, you know, conditioning resists recording and listening so much because no way. It's okay for you to be inspired when you're reading this book that someone else wrote, because that's always gonna be a subtle level of, you know, that's so neat what they have. Mm-hmm. And if only I could, you know, that's all gonna subtly get put into place. But you're so brilliantly describing. Then when you move to doing it yourself and have your own experience of it, whole different thing.
Yeah, it reminded me of the other thing I saw when you were saying is that is what happens. So you're listening and there's a subtle, that's somebody, that's not me.
Yeah,
that's not me. There's a separation.
Me. Yeah.
Gosh, I wish that would be great.
Gosh, look at how wise that person is.
Yeah. And then when you engage, when you turn on the recorder and go to your direct experience, what was happening this morning was like, whoa, I didn't know I thought that were. Well, that's pretty good. You know? And it's like, you get to see what you are.
Yes.
You get to see that life's animating, which is so what you're saying about the resistance is such my experience. And of course, because it's losing ground if you get to actually experience that you are life, not ego-centric karmic conditioning.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. And you know, you remind me, Scott, of such a fun experience of... that often happens for me when I'll listen back to recordings, say on shuffle especially. And so recordings from all different times will come up. And listening to the person, and as I'm listening to her, I can remember what was going on in her head as she's making that recording, but I'm not having the experience of what was going on in her head. I'm able to just listen to her and completely see her sincerity and her authenticity without that thing that's going on in her head. And it's like, woo, that's a really seeing the person outside of the experience that we often have, which is colored by that conversation that's sidebarring the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's extraordinary.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, it's endless what recording and listening offers to the perspectives that we may not have otherwise.
We have a couple of minutes if anyone has anything short.
A very short thing. This morning I was scrubbing a pot which I burned, and it just dropped in so clearly. It could be in a conversation of recrimination and getting through it, or I could be in I love you pot.
I love you pot.
I love you pot.
I love you Anna. I love you SOS pad. I love you. You know, just right?
Yeah.
I love you opportunity. I love there's no mistake here, nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful, isn't it? Because it is that place of, it tends to be easy to be grateful for, wow, you know, big open expansive day, and, you know, beautiful, and look at that amazing soup I made, and, you know, whatever it is. And then there's burning the pot, right? And when we can be grateful for that whole experience. Wow. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.